Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the show. And the spotlight is on Devon, Connecticut tonight to pick up Evelyn L. Homer, 65 Housatonic Drive, who gets tonight's prize for her play, Much Ado About Marty, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price. Ladies, the time has come to take a long look in the mirror, to really see what this summer sun, wind, and water have done to your hair, what they've cost you in natural scalp oils. And if your hair is the least bit dry, or brittle, or dull, if you even suspect dry scalp, you'll be wise to start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. Adopt this simple Vaseline Hair Tonic Glamour Treatment and check dry scalp quickly, effectively. Before shampooing the hair, massage your scalp briskly with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Next, steam the hair with a hot towel for several minutes. Immediately after shampooing, and as an extra aid, smooth on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic as you would a brilliantine. Follow this simple beauty treatment regularly from now on. Your hair will become soft and lustrous. Take on a gorgeous silken sheen. Yes, ladies, for shining, glamorous hair, get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Try it tonight. And so to our prize play. And the scene is the pleasant screened porch on the old white house at the corner of State Street and the River Road in River's End. Dr. Christian and Judy are there relaxing for a moment from their busy life.
Well, it seems good to be sitting out here on the porch taking in some undiluted sunshine, Judy.
You certainly earned an hour's rest, Dr. Christian. You must have had 25 patients this afternoon.
Is that tonight's paper?
Oh, yes. Here, would you like to read the first part?
No, thank you, Judy.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Oh, my goodness. What is it, Judy?
Well, it says here that Laurel Gay and her husband have officially separated. She has come back home to her father here in River's End.
Well, you really startled me. Laurel Gay, you said.
Mm-hmm.
She's the girl who married the band leader.
Yes, Marty Gay of Gay's Merry Caballeros. He's better than all the swoon crooners put together. It's not just that he can give with the trumpet. He's just a natural-born comedian, too.
Why, this Marty Gay must be quite an individual.
Oh, he is. Imagine Laurel Gay walking out on him.
Laurel Gay? She was Laurel Stanley.
Uh-huh. There's a picture of her here on the society page. A close-up of her and her sheepdog. A man like Marty Gay for a husband, and she has a picture taken with a sheepdog.
Well, there are generally two sides to every quarrel, Judy.
I know, Doctor. I'm not really being fair. Uh-oh. Speaking of angels, that's Laurel out strolling now and with the sheepdog. Oh, dear, and there's my kitten, Doctor. Here, Bob. Here, Bob.
Oh, Dr. Christian, is it your kitten? I'm so sorry. It got away safely, though.
It's Judy's kitten, Laurel. This is Judy Price, my nurse. Judy, Mrs. Gay.
I must apologize for Rex. Miss Price is really very gentle.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Gay. But if you'll excuse me, I'd like to find Buff and see her ruffled feelings.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid she's angry, Doctor.
I don't think so. Anyway, Judy has never crossed very long. Won't you sit down, Laurel?
Thank you, Doctor. Seems so good to talk to you again. I see you've been reading the paper, and you know.
Yes, Judy told me. I'm sorry, Laurel, if things aren't working out for you.
Well, I've never faced anything quite like this, Doctor. I shouldn't have married him, that's the whole point. You see, Dr. Christian, I thought his work, his profession, would be something apart, that we could have our private lives together in spite of it. There's nothing about our lives that's sacred from his public. The people we met on our honeymoon, the hotels where we stayed, nothing is immune from his humor. Now, you're smiling too, Doctor. It strikes everyone as funny, but it isn't. And you have to live with it day after day.
No, I suppose not. I think I see the whole picture fairly clearly. Martin Gay is a great comedian, Laurel, and his is a very wonderful gift. We men are often clumsy, my dear, without realizing. How did you ever happen to meet him, Laurel?
Well, I'd been working in a New York laboratory as an experimental chemist. One night, about a year ago, I was dining with friends, and They suggested that we attend one of those radio stunt shows, you know? Well, that's where I first met Marty, although he was introduced to me as Julius Spiegelhofer. Let me try and describe it to you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, and all other guests, Crunchy Wunchy Creamy Crackers, serve them to a man and win a husband, presents its weekly stunt show, Laughter for Millions. Now let's see where we have a likely victim. Well, there's a fine specimen of manhood. First row, third seat. Would you care to be our first contestant, sir?
I'd try anything once, sir.
And what's your name?
Julius K. Spiegelhofer.
Spiegelhofer?
So what's come out of it, Spiegelhofer?
Well, all right, Mr. Spiegelhofer. And what do you do for a living, Mr. Spiegelhofer?
I blow a trumpet. And don't call me Gabriel.
Well, are you any good at it?
Am I good, he asked. Am I good? Brother, just step in at Nick's on 43rd and Broadway.
Now, hold on a minute. I'm sorry. No. And no plugs allowed. I'm sorry.
Am I good?
Well, Mr. Pickle, Spiegelhofer, the first question I have for you is in regards to ladies' hats this year. What do you think of them? Well, we have a couple of policemen here, and we have always called the riot squad. Go ahead. Tell us what you think of them.
Well, now I'll tell you. That's a mighty big subject. How about narrowing it down a bit? Give me one specimen to analyze.
Anything you say, my friend. Make your own choice, Mr. Spiegelhofer.
Mm-hmm. Now, I should say, that contraption.
Where?
That one in the third row. The half sack with the 10-foot feather.
No. You're elected, miss. Will you come up here, please? Yes, you, miss. You. Come along now, please. All right. And what's your name?
Stanley. Laurel Stanley.
And your occupation, Miss Stanley?
Experimental chemist.
Mm-hmm.
Chemist with a chassis like that.
What's that?
Nothing. You go right ahead.
No, she's all yours now, Mr. Pickelhoff. I mean, Spiegelhofer. Come on, analyze the hat now. Oh, that's not your estimate of the hat.
No, sir. That's not an estimate of a hat.
Well, analyze the hat, man. The hat.
You know, sir, I don't seem to be able to see the hat anymore.
All right. One of those born diplomats, I see. Well, we have a little task for you and Miss Stanley here. They say that the two chief difficulties of newlyweds are the hats she wears and the biscuits she bakes. As a kind of a premarital test, we offer you, Miss Stanley, this quick biscuit mix. Now, let's see what you can whip up in the 25 minutes that remain to this program. And you, Mr. Spiegelhofer, here's a soup bunch and a package of crepe paper. Let's see if you can dish up a chapeau that will satisfy both you and Miss Stanley. The kitchen is the first door floor down the hall. Now, have fun, kiddies. Have fun. And now let's see who's on it.
Can you make biscuits?
Well, I never tried, but it should be easy. Directions are on the package.
Well, let's see it. Funny looking stuff. Hey, wait a minute. Sniff that.
Hmm? Why, it smells like...
Sure, and you a chemist. That's no biscuit mix. That's at least one half good strong soap powder.
Oh,
is that a knock? That fella gonna make a sap out of you. Oh, listen, Agassiz. If I can just get out of here for a few minutes, we'll have the laugh on it. I know a snazzy little bakery just around the corner where you can get biscuits the like of which you never dreamed.
You mean we buy biscuits?
Sure. And give that announcer fellow a little surprise. That little window's pretty high up, but I think there's a fire escape below it. Uh-huh. There is. Now, if I can just squeeze through... Come on, Angel Face. You'll have to push.
That's how I met Martin, Dr. Christian. For 2 months, he courted me as Julius Spiegelhofer. I wouldn't even have consented... Well, I would have consented to be Mrs. Spiegelhofer if he'd asked me that soon.
You know, Laurel, as I've listened to you, I've become convinced of one thing. You're still in love with Marty.
Oh, I don't know, Dr. Christian. Do you know what he did in his Chicago broadcast last night? He did a takeoff on a shopping trip with me. I was looking for a new spring hat, and he was so nice about trotting along with me all afternoon from store to store. All the time, he was just planning to use it on his program. I think I hate him, Dr. Christian. I just hate him.
Don't be too hasty, my dear. You're angry now, but in a few days, you'll probably be able to laugh the whole thing off.
Well, if it'll make you feel any better about it, Dr. Christian. I promise not to do anything drastic without talking to you again.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Judy. Why, you're here bright and early.
Oh, wait till you hear the office here, in the waiting room.
A patient is early?
Mm-hmm. It's Marty Gray. And Dr. Christian is even nicer looking than his pictures. He has that funny little poodle with him that is his mascot on all the camp shows.
I'm not exactly accustomed to visits from poodles and comedians, but tell him to come in, Judy.
Doctor, we'll see you now, Mr. Gray.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Gay.
Same to you, Doctor. Only call me Marty, huh? This Mr. Gay business feels like a pair of tight new shoes. And this is Skip. Shake hands, Skip. I suppose you wonder why I'm here, Doctor, but Pop, that's Laurel's father, told me she's been here talking with you yesterday, and... So tell me, Doctor, what on earth has come over Laurie? She's never acted this way before.
Well, now, look, Marty, I'm a doctor of medicine, not a... A court of human appeal.
I know, Doctor, but you're the only one who could figure the angles. Here's how it is. Before we were married, Laurie was a swell sport. She helped me with my gags, and anything went. You know, it takes a long time to work out the gags for a show. I live them. I think them all week.
I can easily understand that.
Yeah, lately she's going real snooty on me. She wants me to attend these little select social gatherings. Even suggested that we should copy some couples she knows who read Shakespeare aloud to one another once a week. But the crowning point of it is, Doctor, was the sheepdog. She thought I needed a more dignified dog, so she bought him for me to take along on the shows instead of the skipper.
Oh, but Marty, what made you make fun of her hat shopping trip on your Chicago broadcast?
That was kind of dumb.
Of all things dear to a woman's heart.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Doctor. I guess I did put it on a little thick. Yeah, but I was getting mad. That sheepdog and all.
Well, have you seen her yet?
Yeah, last night, and sort of. I sent her flowers. They didn't come out. So then I threw in my hat. When that stayed in, I went in. Her father and I played chess all evening. Laurie stayed in her room. When I said I couldn't find a room in River's End, she let me bunk with her father for the night. He's a congenial soul. And I think he's on my side, but he doesn't dare admit it.
Marty, you and Laurel reminds me of a couple of children playing tug of war. You're both pulling so hard in the opposite directions that... Have you ever thought of letting go suddenly, Marty? Just giving in for a day or two and being the kind of person she thinks at the moment she wants?
Tug of war? I let go suddenly and she goes down with a bump. I think you've got something there, Dr. Christian. I think you've got something.
You again, Marty.
Yes, Laurie. Don't close the door, please. I've been all over the town looking for a vacant room, but there isn't one to be had.
Why didn't you go back to New York?
I will go tomorrow, or at the latest the day after. Honest, Laurie.
Well, it's certainly too late for you to get a train out now. I suppose you'll have to stay.
What's that you have on the radio, Laurie?
Count Elmo and his jiving brothers. Well, it was just so quiet here after Dad went upstairs.
Oh, I'll turn on something else, Laurie. My head's splitting. Here, I'll do it. Ah, that's better. Now, just let me sink into a chair. Oh, this is it, Laurie. A quiet living room, soft light, peace, calm, shutting out the world. It's what I need, Laurie. And you were right.
You don't mean that, Marty. Or else that's it, you're ill.
Does a man have to be ill because he needs a little peace and quiet?
I'm going to call Dr. Christian.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Laurie. All I need is to relax and take it easy for a while. I've been going a blue streak for the last half year, you know.
Yes, I know.
It's pretty late to ask this now, Laurie, but I'd like to try that reading aloud to each other that your friends in the book club used to do.
Tonight?
Please, honey. A condemned man is always allowed one last request.
Oh. Well, if you really want to, what would you like to read? Stacy and her husband finished Shakespeare in a year.
I could finish him in 5 minutes. How about Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, all right.
All it's cracked up, that's one of my English teachers missed up on. I've never read it.
All right. Here, let's start with the first scene. You be Gregory, and
Gregory.
I'll be Samson.
Samson, huh?
Gregory, on my word, we'll not carry cold.
No! For then we should be colliers.
I mean, and we be in collar. We'll draw.
Aye. While you live, draw your neck out of the collar.
Say, the old boss thought he was quite a punster, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's sort of on the corny side. Honestly, Marty, your puns are better than that.
Thank you, me lady.
Well, we ought to get better as we go along. Let's try the next scene, huh?
She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angels.
Romeo. Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Or if thou wilt not be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Say, the old fellow had the right idea, didn't he?
I don't know. Whole play strikes me so differently tonight. Let's not do any more of it.
Whatever you say.
Is it only 11 o'clock? So it must be much later.
Well, we might as well turn in. I'd better go on up to Pop. He's hoping I don't wake up.
Would you like a cup of coffee first, Marty?
No. No, thanks, Laurie. But, maybe a glass of warm milk, huh?
Now I know you're going to be sick. You're going to see Dr. Christian tomorrow. Good afternoon, Judy. Is Dr. Christian in?
Well, yes, he's as good, but right now he's talking to Tracy.
Judy, I've got to talk with him about Marty. Have you seen the morning papers? I think Marty must be losing his mind. Look here. It says, Marty Day goes classical.
What?
I'm tired of clowning, says Marty Day. From now on, our band will be known as Day's Musical Moment.
Oh.
We'll do classical stuff with interludes of short dramatic sketches from Shakespeare, Dickens, Thackeray. Oh, Judy, you can't do that. That just isn't Marty.
Well, millions of people will take this pretty hard. It isn't often you find a comedian as good as Marty Day.
Oh, I feel so awful, Judy. It's my fault, I know. The front hall is full of mail from soldiers' camps and veterans' hospitals. Marty must have released the news in New York papers last night. Oh, I must see Dr. Christian as soon as he finishes with whoever's in there. May I sit here by the office door, Judy?
Well, yes, I guess that'll be all right.
Last night was a scream, Doctor.
Aren't you afraid you're going a little too far, Marty?
No, she saw for last night like a ton of bricks. Oh, but, Doctor, she's wonderful, too. I'd go crazy if I lost her.
Did you hear that? It was just a matter of Marty's day.
He can't be angry, Mrs. Day. He must really love you very much.
But another day, Judy.
Well,
I'll show him, too, can play at that game. Look now, Judy, don't tell him I overheard. Just say that I telephoned and invited all three of you to my house tonight to talk over Marty's change of plans.
All right, Mrs. Gay, but what do you...
You'll see tonight, Judy, and thanks a million for helping.
Good evening, Judy.
Hello.
Dr. Christian and Marty, my dear.
Here he is, boys. Oh, Marty himself. Marty meets the boys he has been. We thought we'd meet to celebrate that beautiful publicity gag you pulled this afternoon. It was a honey. It was wonderful.
Hi, boys. Great little gal you got here, Marty. Always thought she was a bit on the quiet side. But say, she's a natural.
Thanks.
Why, I think she's got you beat. Finish that skit about Marty buying trout flies, eh, Laurie?
Okay. Well, Marty says to the clerk, this is the only tray of trout flies you got. Not much of a selection. And the clerk, kind of unwilling, you know, says we might have a few more up on that top shelf behind all those boxes, and I'd have to get on a ladder.
Throw him out.
And while the guy is up there on a ladder juggling half a dozen boxes, Marty goes over the stuff on the counter. You see, and he says, how much is this red one? $2.
$2.
I could make one myself in 5 minutes. You can keep your old flies. And out stalks Marty, leaving the clerk on the top of the ladder just covered with flies. He thinks me particular when I go shopping for something.
He's got your number all right, Marty.
Well, come on, fellas. Come on. Give us a little music.
You stay right here, Doctor, and take your medicine. You would play doll if you did.
Oh, Dr. Christian, can you conga?
No, I can't.
Come on. I'll teach you. Now it's easy. 1, 2, it's 50 cents. Come on.
Oh, Dr. Christian, you think I've made Marty awfully angry? His face looks so clear.
No, Laura, I don't think so. He looks more as if he'd suddenly seen the light.
May I cut in, Dr. Christian?
Certainly, Marty.
Oh, Marty, where are you taking me? You're hurting my wrist.
We're going where we can talk. Alone. Okay, Laurie. Let's take the gloves off and stop sparring. I'm sorry about last night. I'll admit it was just another gag. Oh, golly, honey, I never realized until now what it must be like to be married to a comedian.
Oh, and I never knew how hard it is to be a comedian. Oh, tonight, Marty's been a nightmare. How on earth do you do it?
I was born a dope, I guess. Mm. But from now on, Laurie, I'll never use anything you do or say for a gag, so help me.
Oh, but now I won't mind if you do, darling. If it'll help you any, I'll never be sensitive about it again.
Oh, I love you very much, Angel Face.
I love you, Marty.
And now maybe we ought to go in and rescue Dr. Christian and Judy from that mob of jive friends.
Dr. Christian.
Well, there you are, you two. Is everything all right? Yes, I can see it is.
Thanks to you, Doctor.
And I've accomplished something, too. I've always wondered just which of the dorsal muscles produce a peculiar contortion to the conga. But I think I have it now. One, two, three, hit. One, two, three.
The curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Gene Hirschfeld, waiting to greet you. But first, a word from Judy Price.
Hard work never hurt anybody. I guess we've all had that said to us. And the idea behind it's fine. But actually, hard work often does produce tender, sore hands. An industrial job using oils, dyes, or chemicals is especially hard on your hands. But any kind of hard work is, including victory gardening and housework. So may I make a suggestion? Protect your hands while working with Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Before beginning work, lightly smooth on Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. This protective film will help keep grit from grinding into your hands, safeguard against infection, and make oil and dirt lots easier to wash off. Then after you wash up, apply Vaseline Petroleum Jelly to your hands lightly. Once again, this is to supplement the natural skin oil so often washed away by strong soap. Also to promote quick healing of nicks and cuts. Your hands will feel lots better when you give them the double protection of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseville Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Gene Hirschfeld.
Thank you very much. Here's a message from the government reminding us how urgently the hospitals need help of all kinds. Graduate nurses, student nurses, orderlies, laundrymen, chefs, electricians, plumbers, janitors, and so forth. There are many well-paid jobs in hospitals that will be permanent in the post-war world. Next week, we expect to do room clerks by William W. Douglas of Louisville, Kentucky. So we invite you to listen next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Then check up now. Has summer sun, wind, and water robbed you of natural scalp oils, given you dry scalp? Then check dry scalp simply, easily. Supplement precious scalp oils with Vaseline Hair Tonic. It gives double care to both scalp and hair. Remember, ask for Vaseline Hair Tonic. If you want a good laugh, hear Dr. Christian next week in Room Clerk. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.